Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia, and today we're going to talk about the three C's of codependency. I felt it was important to do this broadcast on codependency because most of the people I work with in counseling are either unaware codependents or recovering codependents. In my experience, the majority of people who get involved with and stay involved with narcissists are codependent in some way. Where narcissists are me-focused, codependents are other-focused. They tend to feel it as their responsibility to fix the problems in the relationship. They become focused on the one they perceive as needing fixing and take the focus off their own unresolved issues that are causing them pain. A belief is developed that the pain within can be managed by controlling outside people and circumstances. For example, if you have a rejection wound which results in fear of rejection, then you may have compensated for this fear by developing strong people-pleasing behaviors. A belief is formed that if you just make that person happy, that person isn't going to reject you. So in a sense, you are managing your rejection wound by trying to control the responses of the people around you. Because you really don't have control of the people around you, it would be far more effective to bring love and healing to the rejection wound and stop yourself rejecting self-depreciating behaviors. It's important to know that other people's bad behavior is not your fault. When people are addicts or are personality disordered, this is the result of a very long-standing issue that was well in place before you ever arrived on the scene. Your own subconscious programs may have attracted you to this person. You may not know exactly why. You only know that there's a strong pull or a strong attraction. Where there is a rejection wound or an abandonment wound, there is an attraction to the rejecter or the abandoner. Why is this? Because on a subconscious level, you likely fear rejection. Because when you feel rejected, your feelings that you are unworthy or not good enough are activated. So there's a strong I'm not good enough wound that attracts its mirror, the one who will remind you over and over that you're just not enough. When we have these deep-seated wounds that have not been healed or understood, we develop a belief that we deserve to be hurt or punished. So we attract the one who will hurt and punish us. Narcissists play this role very well. They never take responsibility and always blame others, so they love to be with someone who always feels guilty and believes everything is their fault. Don't get me wrong. If your significant other is cheating on you, you will not likely blame yourself for that person's cheating, but you may feel that if you were just good enough, that person wouldn't desire anyone else. And that person will agree with you. You will be told, if you weren't so this or you weren't so that, I wouldn't have cheated on you. But you had it coming. In order to heal and change what you are attracted to, you have to stop blaming yourself or feeling you are responsible for that person's behavior. The three C's of codependency are reminders that, one, you didn't cause it, two, you can't control it, and three, you can't cure it. So let's start with one, you didn't cause it. Like I said earlier, the issue with the person you are focusing on was well in place before you ever came along, and it will continue to be in place long after you're gone. You can't blame yourself for another person's issues. And even if that person tries to tell you that he or she would not be this way if it weren't for you, you can't take that on. You are with a blamer who can't take responsibility for himself or herself. If both of you are blaming you, your self-esteem's going to be in the toilet, if it isn't already. When you always feel that you are to blame for the issues in your relationship, you feed the belief, I am the problem. There's something wrong with me. It's not that you don't take responsibility for what is yours, like your own actions and reactions, but you have to stop taking responsibility for somebody else's behavior. Their behavior is not about you, it's about them. You didn't cause that person's behavior, but you may have been the mirror or the trigger that caused them to act or react. They are still reacting to their own wounds. And we all trigger each other's wounds. We can't blame ourselves for being a mirror or a trigger for someone else, unless, of course, our behavior is mean, controlling, or undermining. We're all responsible for what we trigger within ourselves, and we're also responsible for our own actions and reactions to the people who have triggered us. Number two, you can't control it. Have you ever found yourself walking on eggshells, hoping not to set somebody off? You find them to be highly reactive, angry, or snappy. You take mental note of the behaviors you have done in the past that set them off and try to control these behaviors and attempt to control their reactions. Okay, so this is really crazy making. You can't control another person's reactions or behavior. If that person is volatile, violent, reactive, and angry, and won't take any steps to learn why they are this way, and take steps to heal this within themselves, you certainly aren't going to be able to prevent the behavior. Because it isn't about what you say or do. It's about the reactor's inability to deal with his or her own emotions. The reactor has a belief that if he or she is feeling something uncomfortable, it is somebody else's fault. So they'll lash out at the person they feel triggered by. Many of you may have already learned that anything can trigger someone like this. You simply can't manage the triggers. You have zero control over their behavior. You can't control it. So number three, you can't cure it. When in a toxic or dysfunctional relationship, codependents often fantasize about how wonderful things will be when that person changes. You might imagine that person getting therapy or suddenly realizing the error of his or her ways and vowing to get help that they need to change it. And there's often a belief that if they can just get into recovery or counseling, the problems would be properly dealt with and your life will change for the better. Let me remind you, this is a fantasy. It's not reality. The reality is the person has a problem and you can't fix it. It's not your job to fix it. You are powerless to find the cure. It is unhealthy to try to fix or cure someone you're in a relationship with. If you're investing a lot of energy trying to find the cure for someone else, perhaps you need to turn your attention back to yourself, because you are the only one you can fix or cure. You have to cure yourself from the desire to fix another person in order to have a happy life. Your happy life is well within your reach, but it won't happen by fixing someone outside of yourself. It will happen when you realize what it is you need to be happy in your life and take action steps to get it. This may mean leaving people who don't treat you well. You can't make someone treat you well, but you can find someone who will. And you can clean up the program within yourself that caused you to be attracted to people who don't treat you well. You need to learn to accept what is. You need to learn to accept that the person you love is an addict or a narcissist or whatever he or she is, and make a bold step to take care of yourself. You can't cure it. There are different definitions of what a codependent is. The term was originally called co-alcoholic and was assigned to the partners of alcoholics who believed the cause of their problem was their partner's drinking. Co-alcoholics would focus on their partner's drinking, find the stashed bottles and confront them with it, get angry at them when they came home late, drunk, and call into work for them in the morning with excuses when they were too hungover to get out of bed. The co-alcoholic believed if their partner would just stop drinking, they would have a happy life. So all the focus was on the other person's drinking. And yet the codependent enabled the behavior in many ways, such as picking up the responsibility when the alcoholic dropped it. It was discovered that the co-alcoholic had his or her own set of problems and needed recovery as much as the alcoholic did. It was also discovered that the same co-alcoholic term applied to partners of drug addicts, sex addicts, and other types of addictions, mental health issues, and personality disorders. The term changed from co-alcoholic to co-dependent. It wasn't that the addiction or the disorder was the cause of the codependent's pain and suffering. It was unmet needs, mostly coming from within. The codependent subconsciously migrated towards partners who had similar issues as either one or both parents and continued to try and get his or her needs met from someone incapable of meeting them. Often the codependent wasn't even aware that he or she had needs because the focus was outward on the partner and the attempt to meet the partner's needs in order to keep the partner happy and control the addictive or dysfunctional behavior. In a sense, the codependent abandons himself or herself and puts the focus on the partner or on meeting the needs of others. There's often a great deal of unhappiness, depression, suppressed anger, fear, and anxiety with the codependent. It is the self-neglect and failure to love and care for oneself that is causing the codependent so much pain and anxiety. The anxiety is an internal warning sign as the body attempts to get the attention of the codependent and redirect it to his or her physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Because the codependent believes the problems are with the addict or the disordered person, the focus continues to be out there and not within, where the real problem lies. It's not that the addict or the disordered personality doesn't have a serious problem. It is that the codependent's powerless to fix it and makes herself miserable trying. She hasn't yet realized that through her hyper-focus on the outer circumstances, she's neglecting the inner. With codependency comes a lack of self-care and self-love. The healing of codependency comes when the focus is turned within and the codependent begins to recognize his or her own needs and takes care of them. Codependents learn to stop enabling the addict or the disordered personality and allow them to experience the repercussions of their own actions and behavior. They stop bailing the other out of the messes they get in. They stop trying to control the other's behavior. They come to realize they are powerless to change the addict or the disordered personality, but they can change themselves. Changing the self may involve leaving the relationship or telling the addict or the personality disordered individual that I can't live in this chaos and confusion anymore, so if you don't get into recovery, I'm going to leave. The codependent then finds the inner strength to follow through. And this is loving and honoring of the self. Ironically, it is also the most loving thing one can do for the partner, the other person. What codependents may discover after leaving a toxic situation is that it's uncomfortably quiet. They've laid down their end of the rope and are no longer engaged in the tug-of-war battle with the other person. And without this battle, often they don't know what to do with themselves. They may feel lonely, isolated, and feel a big void. They may be tempted to get back with the addict or the disordered personality in order to avoid the feelings found in the quiet of the self. When I work with victims of narcissistic abuse, I often see codependents open the door for the narcissist to walk back in because they can't deal with their own fear, pain, and loneliness. The pain one feels trying to get the other person to change is not as intense as the pain that they feel when they are alone. The belief is often that it is the other person's fault the codependent is feeling this way. Now, if it is a narcissist or an abuser, there's been a lot of crazy-making behavior and no doubt a lot of cruelty and abuse. The codependent was probably made to feel small, insignificant, and unworthy in the relationship, and these feelings can be really overwhelming. However, those feelings were likely already there in the realm of the abandoned child, the inner child. They were just submerged in the subconscious. It is the relationship that brought these painful feelings of unworthiness to the surface of one's awareness. Codependent's recovery comes in recognizing that their deepest pain and insecurity is theirs to heal and can't be blamed on the other. If they focus on blaming the other for how they feel, they're going to be giving their power to the other person and end up feeling like a victim. And I'm not saying that codependents are never victimized, but often there is a victim program running from childhood that is highly activated and needs to be healed through self-empowerment. The word codependent and victim go hand in hand because codependents often feel like victims of the other person. It isn't that there's no victimization involved, but it is more that codependents unconsciously migrate towards people and situations in which they continue to feel victimized. And this is the role that is familiar, and it involves feeling powerless to control the abuser's behavior and yet still feel constantly victimized by it. So who are we without our roles? It's easy to unconsciously identify with your role as codependent or as victim. We develop beliefs that we build our identity around. And in order to stop attracting people and situations that we feel victimized by, we have to understand that it is our choices that put us where we are. It's not the other person. Most of us realize we can leave or escape a bad situation. We simply choose not to. We keep waiting for the change to come from the other and not from within ourselves. And ourselves are the only ones we have any control over. A lot of women that I work with don't want to leave a narcissistic partner because they know that the narcissist will immediately replace them with someone else. They don't think they can bear the pain of being so easily replaced. So instead, they fantasize that they are the one who is important to the narcissist and loved by the narcissist. But it's just a fantasy. If a narcissist can so easily replace his current partner with another, where's the love? Where's the true bond? What codependents sense is that there is no real emotional attachment on the part of the narcissist. But in their own denial, they still need to believe that they're important to the narcissist and would do anything to save the relationship. Unfortunately, this is not the case. If the codependent keeps holding on to the relationship long after it's gone south, the narcissist is likely to take up with somebody else anyway and devalue and discard them, which is much worse for your self-worth than if you had left when you were considering it. Codependents learn to ignore their own intuitive knowing. They don't trust themselves. They put their trust in the other person to take care of them and have their best interest at heart. But the other, in his or her addiction or disorder, doesn't care about anything or anyone outside of the self. They're just not able to. So as a result, the codependent feels deeply betrayed when realizing that this other person doesn't care about them and doesn't have their best interest at heart. The deeper truth is, the codependent who has failed to take care of herself and have her own best interest at heart is a self-betrayal. She avoided her responsibility to herself and gave that responsibility to her partner or to the other person. And this is a really painful thing to realize, but it is the path to healing our codependent patterns. And the good news is codependency can be healed. Codependents can recover and go on to have healthy, happy, and productive lives. There is now a lot of support for recovery from codependency. There are 12-step programs and books and workshops focused on healing codependency. Healing codependency is all about self-love, which is why the primary aspect of my work is the path back to self. We can only heal by bringing the focus back to ourselves and our own needs. We need to realize that with healing, there is pain. Codependents must be willing to connect with everything within themselves that they've cut off from. They must be willing to feel the pain in order to heal it. They must be willing to sit in that stone-cold silence until such a time it becomes a place of beauty and solitude that nurtures the soul. We're only afraid of being alone because we're afraid of the feelings that are within us when we shut out all the distractions in our lives. Once we make friends with our inner world, no matter how painful, we begin to heal our relationship with self, and we begin to enjoy the solitude of being alone. Unhealed codependents will, like the narcissist and the addict, simply find another relationship that is of a similar dynamic, so he or she can go on being codependent. And of course, codependents don't realize they're choosing the same kind of dynamic. It's all unconscious. But after the honeymoon is over, the truth is revealed. The only way to heal and recover from codependency is to be willing to face the pain within. Running from the pain is the act of submerging it back into the realm of the subconscious mind. But in such a case, the pain is still there, always rising up to the surface of one's awareness, threatening to pull them under. There's really no escaping the pain. The only way out is through. If you are a codependent and are recognizing these behaviors in yourself and truly wish to heal and recover so that you can make healthier choices in your life, know that recovery seeks you as much as you seek it. Being connected with yourself and the God within is the deepest connection you can ever have. The more authentically you connect to yourself, the more authentically you will connect with others. It is a journey, yes, and there is pain rising up from the subconscious to be felt and released, yes, but there's also much beauty that comes with honoring, loving, and valuing the self. This is a game changer and well worth the journey. So climb on board the recovery train and take the journey to the inner realms of your true self. You will not regret this powerful choice. Thank you for listening. And you can find out more about me and my work at narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. Have a great day.